Unity out there. Fourth Reich's sake. That's right. It's the new American cuss word. Fourth Reich's sake. Hey, good news though. We've got some fabulous guests on today. Doc Bean will be joining us first hour. And Jonathan from Oath Keepers, who's just had his child stolen by CPS, a.k.a. Charming Pedophile Soldiers, will be coming on second hour. Before they do that, though, I want to pay homage to our fabulous associate producer, Chris, who's got us some really, really good articles today, man. Seriously. Legal defeat for global warming in KiwiGate scandal. Yes, that's right. That's from Suite 101. And the climate controversy dubbed KiwiGate, New Zealand skeptics inflict shock courtroom defeat on climatologists implicated in temperature data fraud. New Zealand's government, via its National Institute of Water and Atmospheric Research, NIWA, has announced that it has nothing to do with the country's official climate record in what commentators are calling a capitulation from the tainted climate reconstruction. The story is also covered on a web news aggregator, icecap.com. And NIWA's statement of defense says that they were never responsible for the national temperature record. And of course, they were only responsible for monitoring it, reporting it, and putting the reports together, and indeed putting up the measurement devices right next to... What was it, Will? They put some of them right next to air conditioners so that they were blasted with hot air all day long, and they said, oh, the climate's warming!
Yeah, the back of air conditioning units, some were at different altitudes compared to, 30 years previous. You know what I mean? Like, oh. And they go, oh, don't worry, our models compensated for their shifting of positions. Yeah, I bet they did. I bet they compensated in the right direction they wanted to fit their nice little graph to show us, oh, it's increasing. Oh, 350 little orc. You know the 10-10-10 group that we showed, we don't have a TV show yet, that we talked about having a commercial blowing up children's heads, climate-denied children, blow them up last week. They even had an action here on Sunday in New Zealand. Isn't that nice? In fact, in my hometown, they had an action.
In fact, there were 75 actions that went all around the country, ranging from organic farming practices to bike repair and climate cultist worship of the Church of Climatology. You will be saved by the Church of Climatology. I will it upon you.
No, they're all new ages, man. That was Gaia worship.
Yeah, we'll be right back.
Oh, yeah. Tonight we're gonna make love. You know how I know? Because it's Wednesday, and Wednesday night is the night that we usually make love. It's because it's when everything is just right. There's nothing good on TV. You haven't had your social netball team practice, so you're not too tired. Oh yeah, sounds like it's all on. You say something to me like, I might go to bed, I've got work in the morning. But I know what you mean. You mean, oh yeah, It's business time. It's business time.
It's business time. It's business time.
That's what you mean. You mean it's business time. Oh.
It's business. It's business time.
Oh, yes. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and incidentally, the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. It's Vinnie with a Y, because apparently it's the most important question. It is my great pleasure to welcome back to the show somebody who's been on the show twice already and, yeah, always enjoys it very much. Doc Bean, welcome back to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, bro, on American Freedom Radio.
Thanks for having me back, guys. I always have a real good time on this show. You guys, you guys make this a lot of fun.
Yeah, well, that's good. I mean, your lovely wife, Tiffany, contacted me yesterday and said, hey, when are you getting Doc back on the show? And I said, hey, you know what? I haven't had Doc on the show for a while. Why not?
Yeah, my wife, she's my booking agent, you know.
Yeah. Does a fabulous job of it, too. Now, you have a story to tell, I hear, Doc, about charming pedophile services coming to your door to take your daughter, is it?
Well, it's kind of a bit, it's a bit more involved than that, right? They tried to maneuver into a way to take our daughter away from us. And, of course, I got them out of there. I got them out of the Communist Republic of California before they could do it. But it had mostly to do with what they did to my wife and her kids from a previous marriage. They took them away, and they actually refused to even allow her the chance to get them back. Basically, because she was with me, so it kind of went like that. And there's some other details to it that we can get into, but I posted a couple of videos about a year and a half ago now on the whole subject of the illegal, unconstitutional CPS courts we have here in America.
We have similar courts here in New Zealand, and they're the only court of public opinion, so to speak, that you cannot, under any circumstances, film or record proceedings. They are essentially secret courts. And supposedly the reason why this is, and there's plenty of evidence to back it up, a lot of the judges are pedophiles. And a lot of illegal activity and child trafficking goes through child, youth, and family courts. And I imagine it's exactly the same thing in the United States.
Well, it's even a little bit worse than that here. Not only can you not record... But they can actually bar anyone from the courtroom they wish, so that only certain folks are allowed. In other words, the public, you don't get a jury by your peers, you don't get a trial in front of a jury where a verdict can be reached, because the public is barred from the proceedings completely. So not just recording and video, but witnesses, period, are not allowed.
That's not corrupt at all, and it's certainly not capable of being, you know, manipulated by dangerous people, you know. Come on. And what I find strange is that when people have their kids taken off them, the brainwashed public goes, oh, they must have been terrible parents. And to my mind, it looks like to me, I mean, I know a lot of people in this country who have had problems or know people who have had problems with protective services, that kind of thing. And in virtually every single case, that person has done nothing wrong. Their kids are absolutely fine. But the parents have political views that aren't popular.
That's kind of similar to what happened with us. What happened with my wife is that the grandfather actually did some real bad things to the kids, and because my wife was living on the property, they took the kids away from her, and then they were going to later give the kids back to the grandparents, even though they're the ones that actually did the deeds that got the children removed from the home. And it's amazing to me. It seems like in America, they always give the kids back to the molester. It's like the molester gets a million chances to be around kids, and parents that are doing legal things, going to all the classes, paying all the money, they're the ones that are barred from seeing the kids because it's a money racket. They get paid large sums of cash to per class. You have to pay per class. They charge you per class, and then they get paid if they adopt the kids out. They get nothing to give the kids back to the parents. And so that's kind of how this all started with us, was we found out they were trying to give the kids back to the grandparents, which is who they were originally, the reason they were jerked out of the home to begin with. And that was kind of how we got involved in the whole thing, was we could not imagine them sending the kids back to the molester.
Yeah, and it happens all the time. Even in CPS custody, I believe on the Alex Jones Show, I heard that you're five times more likely to experience molestation and sexual abuse in CPS custody homes than anywhere else.
Oh, that's definite. That's definite. And their reason for wanting to give them back to the molester was of my affiliation, my political views, and, of course, being a member of a motorcycle club. I know that you've seen the latest story, of course, on the Oath Keeper baby being taken away because he was an Oath Keeper. And mine is a similar situation. They didn't want to give her kids back to her because of my political views and my affiliation. And basically what they've done is, you know, there's legitimate groups of folks that should be looked at closely, gang members and things of that nature that are genuinely dangerous. But what the police departments in America have done, and what the CPS departments have done, is they've made subgroups and added them to these groups. And what those groups are, they have a disruptive group. One is called a disruptive group, and the other is called a dangerous group. So these are subgroups, and they've added in everything from militia to motorcycle clubs, even all the way down to what they consider different political groups. I know there's the Sovereign Citizen Movement. They've added to that as a dangerous group, and these aren't groups that have, how do I put it? These aren't groups that are out there breaking the law. They're not selling drugs. They're not involved in robberies and things like that, right? These are just groups with political views that they have added into these gang lists. So now, if you're in a militia, if you're an Oath Keeper, I dare say, even now, if they can prove you're part of the Tea Party, I think that you run the risk in America now of losing your children.
And I think this is an intimidation tactic. The Obama regime, the Obama regime, has, I think, this is just a theory on my part, of course, realized that all these different groups are threatening the New World Order agenda, and a campaign of intimidation needs to ensue to get people to shut up. Now, I want to ask you, Doc, are you going to shut up about this? I think not. And I don't think Jonathan, who's just had his children, the Oath Keeper, taken by CPS, is going to shut up either. And, in fact, these intimidatory tactics seem to be counterproductive to the New World Order agenda. The other possibility is, of course, that the fact that we're repeating this, and I know that Jonathan has been doing the circuits at the moment, it may, in fact, make other truthers who are afraid of going through this and losing their children, they may stop their political activities in order to prevent it.
Well, you know, I would agree with you. I think that it is a very effective tool at suppressing people's views, suppressing their right to believe what they want to believe, to have the political views they want to have. And, you know, we talked on a previous show about the United Nations steering policy papers saying that they be given the tools to change people's political will and their views and their opinions that were counter to their global plan for the world. So this is one effective tool to use to basically change attitudes, as the paper, that's the exact quote from the steering documents that came out of the Labor Day weekend meeting that the leaders at the UN had. So this tool in particular, when you're talking about messing with people's kids, I don't think there's anything more crushing out there than someone stealing your child, and especially at birth like that. That's got to be one of the most devastating things that could possibly happen to somebody, is to have their infant stolen. I know my wife was devastated when they just refused to give her kids back.
Yeah, yeah. And my deep concern is that people in these situations, I think that it might be kind of like baiting, right? We've got a whole bunch of pro-gun groups and pro-freedom groups that know how to defend themselves, and I would guess that not only is this an intimidatory tactic to make them stop their political activities, but also a challenge, and hoping that somebody will fire a shot.
Well, that's I've often told folks that one of the areas I think there will be an explosion of problems for the government is these illegal family courts. And you've got to understand, right? They because of the secret proceedings and because they're allowed to bar anyone from the courtroom, they're allowed to lie. And when I say lie, I mean outright lie. You know, my wife went to the same school I did to become a drug and alcohol counselor. She just got to the point of her internship, and those courts would not even take the paperwork that proved that she was not just competent and doing what she was doing, but the fact that she was actually at the point of being in her internship to be a drug and alcohol counselor, they would not even allow that. They had her down as being incompetent, as being homeless, all kinds of things that were never true. It's like they just go in a back room and they have this list of things that they'll write in the report. And they wrote in the report like they had sent her to be seen by experts and things, when they had never sent her to see anyone, ever. She'd never been interviewed by anybody there. And they wrote it up like they'd had some extensive report done on her, when the facts of the matter are is that the only times they ever spoke to her was 5 minutes before she went in to try to deal with her case. And so when we presented paperwork that refuted what they were saying, it either conveniently was lost or they just refused to enter it. They even refused to enter it when a judge ordered it entered into the record. After the hearing, they told my wife, the judge doesn't make the decisions, they do. And that ought to tell you right there all you need to know about CPS courts.
Oh, and you know what, I'm just kind of really upset, and this angers a lot of people out there. Seriously, as soon as I put up on my Facebook status that I was having Doc and Jonathan on the show about CPS taking their kids, I got a lot of comments saying just how angry it makes them, right? And I think that this kind of, well, perhaps we can use this incident in a Machiavellian way, of course, to put a spotlight on these family courts, because, let's face it, you know, they've been operating with virtual impunity for goodness knows how long, responsible for a heck of a lot of suffering, and they must be stopped. And I think that the only way, really, to stop big, terrible regimes of this nature as with the old lights of publicity.
I agree. They, you know, they killed Nancy Schaefer because she was exposing the corruption of CPS. You can't set up a for-profit organization, and let's face it, that's what CPS is. They get, I know in California, they get $10,000 a child to adopt them out. They get nothing to send them home. And if you have an open case, like my wife did, with, of course, from her previous marriage, when you are having a newborn, they go after you. And, you know, they sent a social worker in for the entire 2 weeks, because our baby, of course, was a little bit premature and had to stay in the hospital for 2 weeks. We had to be there every single day with multiple family members, because that worker was there every single day filling out questionnaires, asking tons of questions. And we had to make it clear to her that there would be a platoon of family around this baby at all times, and if they were going to try and take the baby, it was going to be a big problem. I mean, I feel like we barely made it out of the hospital with our child, and the only reason we did is 14 people went with us to go get the baby on the baby's release date. That's the only reason I feel like we made it out of the hospital with Diana.
And they... Oh, my God. And they have these kind of vulture scumbags hanging around the hospitals all the time. And also, I've heard that they're now telling parents that when their babies are born, they have to give blood. And so they're going into this big child databasing thing. And what a lot of people don't realize about child pedophile services is that it's a pedophile trafficking ring. All right, one of the largest in the world, and there's a lot of money involved here, and also the elite themselves are hugely into pedophilia, hugely into demon worshipping, child sacrifice, things of this nature, and invariably, when your children disappear into CPS custody, they often appear abused or something similarly terrible. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. Our special guest is Doc Bean from thewatchman.fm, and we'll be right back after the break. Coming back like a, I don't know, like a bad virus. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. Special guest is Doc Bean. And we're talking about child protective services, charming pedophile soldiers, and the terrible reality of the fact that government is, most likely, in my considered opinion, the worst bunch of child kidnapping rapist scumbags that the world has ever seen. With the exception, of course, of Barack H. O'Barry. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Now, Doc, I'm wondering if you have any more on this. Because do you know anybody else who's been going through this other than Jonathan?
Well, you know, it's funny you should ask that, right? Because I was going to do a show myself with. Basically, what they did is they sent out letters to everybody who had what they considered to be a problem case or folks that had grievances with how they were handling the case. So they had this big meeting with about three of the CPS bigwigs down there in Sacramento, and there was about 30 people there. And there was a common theme running through all of the parents that were there that were having trouble getting their kids back. And what that theme was that about 70%, 30% CPS looked to be had a legitimate reason not to be dealing with these folks. But the other 70% were people with disabilities and that they had decided were in some capacity too disabled to be able to get their kids back. And to me, that was discrimination. So I got about 9 phone numbers of some folks that had disabilities, but, you know, either they had a learning disability or one of the couples, they were deaf. One of the guys was in a wheelchair, and I guess he was a single parent. And so they wouldn't give his kids back based on that. And it seemed to be, at least in California, that if you have a disability, that you're probably not going to get your kids back based on the disability. Now, CPS probably won't admit that, but that's what they said at the meeting. And so I got these people's phone numbers because they were so distraught and so at their wit's end with what to do, because the news doesn't care, right? We saw what happened when the documentary was done on CPS, where they showed that the kids were being used for abuse by politicians and things of that nature. It got yanked before it ever got aired. It's big on YouTube now, but it got yanked. So the news is not interested. And basically, it just goes like this. If you're disabled, they're going to use your disability against you. They're even going to embellish on your disability. And like I said, they'll refuse paperwork from your doctors or a psychologist or whoever has actually been seeing the person. They'll refuse all that paperwork, and they'll go on whoever made the reports hearsay evidence, because in CPS cases, hearsay evidence is admissible. In other words, if one person just makes up a story, it's evidence and they can use it, and you've got to disprove it, even if you don't know the person or even if it's so outrageous as to be unbelievable just on its own merit, you're guilty until proven innocent. And that's one of the biggest problems with these unconstitutional courts, is that the Constitution guarantees you're innocent until proven guilty, and that hearsay evidence is inadmissible, but not in a CPS case. So most of these folks were being denied access to their children, or reunification, as it's called, on the basis of a report from either an individual they had a problem with, maybe it was a ex-spouse, and you know, those things can be terrible when you're dealing with ex-spouses and the arguments and the resentments that happen there. And CPS can use all those things and permanently deny you access to your children. And those are some of the things that have got to be reformed in order for this system to start working well. And with them being able to sell the children to the highest bidder, and that's really the way it works with the adoption thing, I don't see that in the future.
I'm quite disturbed by all this, because with the child trafficking and all of that, it's probably one of the most offensive elements of the New World Order, and it speaks to me of just kind of like demon worship. You know what I'm saying, Doc? It's just these occultic scumbag filth who see the people who are weak, who can't defend themselves, like people with disabilities, and they think, oh yes, oh, that's going to be really lovely. We're going to send our CPS pedophile troops in, and we're going to get ourselves some fresh meat. You know? And I wish I could have a joke about that, but it's not funny.
No, you know? It isn't funny. And you know, the foster parents that they have on their payroll, and this is going to blow most people's minds. The The biggest thing that's going on, especially with our case, and this, and it's kind of intimate detail, but I feel like that folks should know. The foster mother is allowing the children to use drugs and to have parties in the house up to and including sex and everything else. And the daughter was bragging about being able to do that. So that spurred us into action. And, you know, it wasn't like she just told us. She told her sister. She told her half-sisters and brothers that that's what was going on. And that she didn't want to ever be taken away from there because she could do whatever she wanted. So we did what most parents would do. We contacted them and said, hey, this behavior is going on in this household. And you know what they did? They went and asked the foster mother, and of course she said, oh, no, that's not going on. And so they said, oh, sorry. They said it isn't happening. Rather than test the kids or something like that, because if that's just going on in a foster home, who knows what else is going on there? And if that's admissible, if that's allowable to the folks that claim they're keeping these kids safe, because that's the reason they always give. It's for the safety and benefit of the child to be in this foster home. And so if this foster home environment is allowing gang members and drug parties and sex parties to go on, then obviously there's a serious dereliction of duty. And it isn't a rare case like just in ours. It's very commonplace, especially in California, for these kind of violations not only to happen, but for the foster parent to be caught in it and still be allowed to have the foster kids and get her paycheck from the state. And to me, that's insane, because if that goes on, you know, who are they? They could be pimping the kids out. In our case, the actual granddaughter and foster mother were drinking and smoking pot and doing all kinds of stuff with a 13-year-old. And to me, that's entirely unacceptable. You know, I understand an adult making adult decisions, but a 13-year-old, that's insane. So these are the things that people in California are trying to deal with, and I imagine it's probably equally as bad across the state, across the country.
Yeah, Doc, yeah, Will here. I've just been keeping quiet, listening in on this, and yeah, try not to get too frustrated, because it is really terrible. And a lot of the things you're telling me just resound with what I've heard over here in New Zealand even. A couple of guys have been through the family courts. In fact, in Australia, in response to this, and in New Zealand, there was a group formed that was kind of almost militantly against the family courts. They're called the Black Shirts. And I know one guy from a New Zealand arm of that group, and he was telling me what happened to him. And it just seems to me that they go after a common thread seems to be they go after a lot of Christian families and right-wingers and people who know their rights, and take their kids off them and basically give them to, normal people, gay couples and degenerate drug users and all sorts of people. And it really does my head in. And to back up what Vinny was saying about them being demonic, child traffickers, a lot of people are going to laugh at that and go, oh, you know, what's this conspiracy going about? Well, they can look up the 2005 Chicago Tribune article, U.S. Stalls on Human Trafficking. The Pentagon has yet to ban contractors from using forced labor. And they can read how a KBR contractor to Halliburton in 2005 got about 200 subcontractor slaves, and one of their guys anyway, they say it was just a contractor, was involved in trafficking young girls out of Eastern Europe. I mean, this is just one case where they happened to get caught by some good person within a customs distinction or something like that. You know, most of the time they just get away with it because they give these guys high-level security passes and everything else. And as for them being demon worshipping, well, just look up Bohemian Grove, our listeners out there, or the ones who doubt this is going on. In fact, the 2000 Bohemian Grove program cover, I have a little copy of here, has a little baby, the proportions of a baby, burning on a stone altar in front of Moloch, the female owl deity. These guys are really into it. It's unbelievable. 2,300 people line up every year to go to that event. Not 2,300 people, 2,300 of the world's wealthiest.
Yeah, well, one of the things that folks need to remember is that Luciferians, especially the ones that are that practice the warrior on the block rites, which are from the ancient Babylonian Baal worship, you know, they believe that the most power derived from the sacrifice is from the most innocent of souls. Or that's why when you see the hokey movies, they always want to sacrifice a virgin. But in reality, the rituals were always infants. They always sacrificed infants for fertility of their crops. They sacrificed infants for blessings through the winter and in all of their holy days. It was always infants because they believed that pure infant soul had the most power. And there are all kinds of documented cases. I don't know if you've ever had Russ Dizdar on the program, but he wrote a couple of books on the subject, and does all kinds of exposés and seminars on these dark rituals that have gone on, the Baal worship and Satan worship. He does deprogramming of folks that have been involved in that kind of stuff. So there's a lot of documented evidence that folks will never see in this area of research. And, of course, to me, he's the foremost expert on it. He wrote his book, of course, is called The Black Awakening. And he goes into some detail about why they do it, what it's for, and some of the deprogramming of some of the kids that were raised as sex slaves and things like that, that ended up in the hands of the people that had them because of CPS and organizations like that. So those things do exist. I don't have personally the documented evidence of it other than what I've read.
Mm-mm-mm. And, you know, sometimes you don't need a whole lot of documented evidence to see where the trend is going and draw the line of best fit, like a climate cultist. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will, and we'll be right back with our special guest, Doc Dean.
Look at me, driving and I won't stop. And it feels so good to be alive and on top. My reach is global, my tower secure. My cause is noble, my power is pure. I can hand out a million vaccinations, I'll let them all die in exasperation. Have them all healed from the lacerations, have them all killed by assassination. I can make anybody go to prison just because I don't like them. And I can do anything with no permission. I have it all under my command because I can guide a missile by satellite, by satellite, by satellite. And I can hit a target through a telescope, through a telescope, through a telescope. And I can end the planet in a holocaust, 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 in a holocaust.
Hey, ladies and gentlemen out there, I don't know about you, but I don't know a terribly large amount about this CPS subject. I know a heck of a lot more than the brainwashed general public do, but that ain't saying much, all right? But without knowing a terribly large amount, I can say this. Get angry, all right? Get really angry, because these people are taking good people's kids. All right, and they are treating them as if they are demonic sacrifice talisman. All right, That's basically it. Don't be happy about it. Don't sit back and think, that's pretty bad. Maybe I'll just have another beer. I mean, come on. You know, where's your backbone? I know you got them. Otherwise, you wouldn't be able to stand upright. And, you know, Doc, I'm do you know, would you like to expand on this topic here and even inform me a little more on it, or Will even, because I'm dying to know more. Almost like the poor children that get kidnapped by CPS.
Well, let me first start out so folks understand where these courts came from, so they can understand what we need to do to fix them. These courts came from the eugenics courts back in the 20s and early 30s that were outlawed. Those courts, people don't know this, or a lot of folks haven't studied, but in America, during that time period, Americans were sterilized because of faulty genes. Folks think eugenics is a current new thing that's a conspiracy theory. It is not. It's real history. It's part of America. It was around for almost, I think, 12 to 15 years, where family members, people who were considered not wealthy enough, not healthy enough, not sound enough, were told they could not have children. And if they did, their children were taken or a procedure was done, so they could not have children. Now, these CPS courts are what is left of the eugenics courts after the laws were changed, because obviously it was unconstitutional to forcefully sterilize people so they could not have children. However, they want to get back to that point again here now. In America, we must change the hearsay evidence rule. We must change the ability of CPS to write whatever they wish in their reports based on just opinion or hearsay evidence, because they write it like they've sent someone to see a psychologist, a doctor, somebody like that. It's written in the reports like you've been thoroughly examined by people, when in reality, you've never been seen by anybody from their department other than your appointed attorney. And by the way, your appointed attorney isn't even really your attorney in those courts. That must change as well. There's no judge in those courts. That must change. You have a commissioner in CPS courts, and that commissioner is only a commissioner for your case, because in the next case, he's the prosecutor. And in the next case, he's the appointed attorney, and the last prosecutor is now the commissioner. And so you have this merry-go-round of these different folks who, case by case, are either your attorney or they're your prosecutor or they're your commissioner. And from one hearing to the next, your attorney might be your commissioner at the next hearing. And so there is no strategy you can ever build to win your kids back, even with the evidence on your side, because it's a merry-go-round of the same folks all getting paid to adopt children out, tens of thousands of dollars each, especially for newborns, high as $60,000 in some states. And you can never present real evidence. You present a doctor's evidence, they present hearsay evidence that they've written up to look like a doctor's evidence, and it nullifies the real evidence, and you're left at their mercy. And that's how it is here in America. It may be the same in other places, but that is how bad CPS is in America. Something must be done, because I think the next Joe Stack is going to be somebody whose kid got taken away in this illegal fashion, who just is not going to take it. I really do.
Yeah, I fully agree, because, you know, I just got a message from our associate producer who wanted me to mention something. A manual on how to molest children is legal, cops say. It was in from Florida Police and ABC News. And the it's a 700-page manual. A dispersed 700-page manual of how to find children, of how to coax them into your car, and how to rape them and get away with it. And then the cops get a copy of this, and they're like, wow, oh my God, it's legal. You know, it's disgusting. And you know, it for me, being somebody who doesn't own any weapons or anything like that, I want to kill people. Seriously, that's how upsetting this subject is. So it would be no surprise whatsoever to me to hear about a an American patriot at some point in the near future, or even already, taking out CPS workers, pedophile scum that they are, with a
but
rifle.
But Vinny, it won't be American patriot. It'll be a setup.
It won't
be a stooge.
Yeah,
to set
that's
us,
true.
Set us all up.
That's true. Patriot loves his people and loves his country. Wouldn't do it. But anyway, thanks very much, Doc, for coming on the Vinny Eastwood show with us. His website, ladies and gentlemen, is thewatchman.fm. You can listen to his radio show, and he also does really good videos and breaks downs of news and analysis. Thank you very much, Doc, for coming on with us.
Thank you for having me. You guys have a wonderful day.
Thanks, Doc. Most... really appreciate it.
All right, there he goes, Doc Bean, ladies and gentlemen, at thewatchman.fm, and always a pleasure to have him on the show, and no doubt he'll be back, as we will, after the break with another guest. Thank you. Delete the virus, alert the masses. Strange is that on the Vinny Eastwood show, the lighter side of genocide, occasionally topics come up that you just can't make light of. And I'd probably say the CPS child kidnapping ring is one of those topics. You know, it's kind of difficult to laugh at children getting raped. You know?
You know, Vinny, and people go out there, and I got a few negative comments saying, oh, I made sweeping statements about psychologists all being scum and all this sort of stuff. Well, obviously, I don't think all psychologists are scum, just like I don't think even all Bohemian Grove members are scum. I think it makes you more likely to be scum, though. How about that? But see, I'm not allowed to make those sorts of statements, but they're allowed to make sweeping actions against us. No, and if all these people are so good, you know, psychologists go and they work with CPS and they go and assess these parents and they go, oh, he's very unstable. He holds conspiracy theories about the US government. He holds resentment towards big government. He's dangerous. I don't think the child should be in this environment. That's what they do. That's what they do. And the filth have no historical reference point to them, of their own. No, nothing. And it's, the whole psychology field is founded in nonsense. And I'll declare that. Nonsense. Absolute nonsense. It's all Freudian. It's Machiavellian. You know, the, Sigmund Freud's nephew, Edward Bernays, wrote PR manuals and psychology papers that are still in current universities today. They train them based upon these elite and their mantra and their doctrine. And then, so why is it a surprise that huge child kidnapping rings can be in operation and the psychologists cover up for them and keep ordinary good parents out of the loop whilst they extort their children? News of the World, 26th of May, 1996, Irish News of the World. Labour politician John Mulvihill, yeah, is pictured under a headline, Satanist Plot Child Sacrifice, has a picture of a drugged young girl lying on an altar after, you know, she looks dead. And he was at the center of there's another example. Go and research that. I mean, we haven't got time to go through all this stuff. Like having her in the position of the Judas goat type thing, of a demon head, and this happened at Halloween, and it's all. You know, they have high holy days, and the Druid Council get out there and sacrifice people. This is real.
Wasn't it on May the 1st each year in Washington, D.C.? May the 1st being a demonic holiday, of course, they have record or huge spikes in the amount of children that go missing in D.C. for the benefit of our fabulous rulers in Congress.
Yeah, it's not just Workers' Day. It's not just International Workers' Day. It's the day the Illuminati was founded, and Adam Weishaupt waited for that day.
And we'll be right back.
Anger to a place that ain't gonna get up in your face. The facts we okay, but the system fails. We got to change the way we see the problem if we're gonna fix this place. My living soul don't care about the color of your face. Unite and roll, respect our right to live here on the land. It's Dino Ranga, Tita Tonga, we don't know the banks. The parliament does so where do you ever stand? They pay their bills off your back with hefty tax demands.
Yeah.
We're sending our youth with alcohol, TV contrabands. So kids act up and disturb our community. Uninformed public then consents to a planned absurdity. What?
Uninformed public consenting to planned absurdity. Indeed. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will. This is probably the most serious show we've ever done, Will, because it's a freaking serious subject, man, and it upsets a lot of people, and I'm sure we'll draw a lot of flack for saying what we've said on this show. All we're telling you is the truth, the uncensored, terrible truth.
Look, you know, it's not just one or two or three people. This has happened to Holly Greig in Scotland recently. You have a look at all sorts of things that have gone on amongst this weird brotherhood at the top. But before getting really stuck into it again, I had a message the other day, and it appears that some of our good boys, some of our New Zealand boys, over in Afghanistan, on the front lines there, are listening to the show, tuning into the show, and are largely agreeing with the show. I know they're not allowed to really voice their opinions, but we know they're human too, and I just wanted to shout out to those guys and say, you know, thanks for listening. I'm not some big leftist anti-war hippie, as you probably have picked up by now, but I disagree with a lot of politics, as you guys do, that surround the war, and it's a difficult subject. But I'd just like to say, yeah, I support the troops. On an individual level, I support the troops. I just don't support the whole agenda. And I know the troops don't either. And they're doing what they have to do, and I wish them all the best. I hope none of them get hurt. You know, unfortunately, they are being hurt. But I hope that, you know, none of our boys get hurt and come back safely and can join us in the battle against the guys who, I believe, are the real threat to humanity and freedom. And they're wrecking your dollar too whilst you're over there in Afghanistan. So, yeah, they're affecting all of us. So, yeah,
there's no,
good luck
there's
to you
no
guys.
Escape.
Keep safe.
There's no escape from a new world order, is there? Now, we have a special guest on the line here, Jonathan Irish from Oath Keepers, who's recently had his very young child taken from him. Jonathan, welcome to the Vinnie Eastwood Show.
Well, thank you guys for having me.
Well, I've been talking to my producer, and he says that you're in a fragile state right now, and so you should be. Anybody who maintains full composure after having their child taken off them, I would rule a sociopath. So let's get into it. I'd really love it if you could just explain to me as well as the listeners what's happened to you.
Well, I'm not sure where you want me to start. There's been a bunch of false allegations that, matter of fact, as soon as my fiance Stephanie gets back from her appointment, we need to go to the police department to retrieve a copy of the police report in which the forensics from the state crime lab exonerated us from the investigation in which one of her minor children was hurt. As soon as she gets back, we're going to pick up that documentation, and that documentation will be shared as the affidavit and everything else that has been shared in this case. Our daughter Cheyenne was born Wednesday evening. She was a beautiful, healthy baby girl. Barely even fussed when she was born. And when she was 16 hours old, not even, the state of New Hampshire, DCYF, came in with three uniformed police officers, uniformed patrolmen, and four detectives. As far as I know, they were detectives. Only one of them confirmed that he was, in fact, a detective. The other ones, to this day, I do not know if they were Concord police detectives or what their actual title was. Since then, yesterday, they finally called Stephanie. I was in the shower and told Stephanie that they wanted her to come on and or come to visitation and have a visit with our daughter. And Stephanie immediately said, wait a minute, what about her father, Jonathan? Because in the court order, it states that both parents shall have supervised visitation. And their excuse was, oh, there's a safety concern, there's a security risk, and a security concern. Stephanie immediately says, on what grounds? They started babbling around their words, and they hung up with Stephanie. I got out of the shower no more than 5 minutes after the phone rang, came running over to Stephanie, and got the information of the woman who had called, Betty Keegan from DCYF, and I call her back. And I'm on hold for 2 or 3 minutes, and then a gentleman named who identifies himself as Tom O'Connell and alleges to be Betty Keegan's supervisor gets on the phone and keeps telling me that when he comes on the phone, I tell him, sir, it is my legal obligation to inform you that this telephone call is being recorded. The entire conversation was recorded. The conversation continues. It was about a 20-minute conversation, so I'll brief it up for you. The conversation entailed me asking Mr. O'Connell why I was being refused to see my daughter, and he continued to use the same cop-out and same poor excuse that there's a safety concern and a security concern. He refused to identify exactly what those quote-unquote supposed concerns were. And he continued to say, and again, this is on voice recording, that he is fully aware of, and he was fully aware of before the conversation started, was that he continued to say, well, I don't have the file, so I can't tell you what the security and safety concerns are. So again, he doesn't even know what's going on. How can he say that there's a security concern or a safety concern? Well, he continues to say that these orders of not allowing me to visit with my daughter came down from administration. When asked who in administration issued these orders, he refused to give me that information, stating that he does not have to give me that information. Just give me 1 second. I need a drink of water. All right, sorry about that.
It's thirsty work, is it?
Oh, yeah, I've been right out straight. I haven't gotten more than 5 minutes to sit down and even try and think about this situation. But anyway, the conversation continued, and he kept telling me the same thing over and over again. And then he, the same thing he kept telling me was, there's a safety concern. You're not allowed to see your daughter. You're not allowed to visit with her. And then he asked me the question of, so does this mean that Stephanie's not coming to the visit? And I said, well, first of all, she was never given a time. And she was told that she would be called back. And he said, well, that's correct. And I said, well, yes, we both will be at the visitation. And I will be allowed to see my daughter. I will be there with the court order in hand stating that I'm stating that both parents will have supervised visitation with the children. And he continued to say, well, I can't allow you to do that. That won't happen. And I said, well, sir, until you can give me some kind of even an attempt at a justifiable reason as to why I'm being denied to see my daughter and why I am a supposed, quote-unquote, safety concern or safety or security concern, you're in violation of that court order. And unless you can verify and define why there is a safety concern or why there is a safety risk and address exactly what those are and explain them, you will be in violation of the court order. The conversation continues.
Jonathan, could I just ask you to back away from your mic a little bit? It's distorting a little.
Sorry about that.
Oh, that's much better. Thank you. Continue.
Sorry about that. Well, the conversation continued. He kept saying the same thing. Well, I can't allow you to do that. You're not going to see your daughter. And I continue to say, sir, you will allow me to see my daughter. I will see my daughter. You have no right to keep me from my daughter. You have no right to keep our daughter away from us. You stole her in the first place. This conversation should not even be taking place. And that this I guess, bickering session, if you want to call it such, it continued for another 10 minutes or so. And I continued to tell him that we will be there with the court order. And he said, well, let me call you back with a time and let me get some more information on this case. This was at approximately 11:30 a.m. We waited and waited for a phone call. Matter of fact, we attempted to call the DCYF office, and it just rang and rang and rang. Well, the DCYF office closes at 4 o'clock p.m. We never received a call until about 10 a.m. this morning from the DCYF social worker saying, Betty Keegan, and again, I picked up the phone, and I said, this is Iris, you're being recorded. She identified herself as Betty Keegan, the social worker. And I said, well, what can I do for you? And I stopped myself right there and said, no, ma'am, actually. And then she started to say, how are you doing? And I stopped myself and I said, actually, no, ma'am. When are you going to let me see my daughter? And she says, well, that's what I want to talk to you about. At that point, Stephanie and I were driving. We were on our way to meet with someone. And I immediately pulled off the side of the road, pulled in a church parking lot, to speak with Miss Keegan. Miss Keegan informed me that there will be a visit set up at 12 noon today, which we had today, and it was held at the visitation center, which was at the Stafford County Courthouse, where the court is being held on Thursday in this matter. And so we immediately rushed home. We got the baby's bag all together with her formula, change of clothes in case she soiled herself, diapers, wipes, you know, everything you may need for a newborn. We also grabbed the cameras to take some pictures because we have very minimal photos from when she was born and in the hospital, and I wasn't able to get any video of her. Well, we go to the visit, and We had a wonderful visit with our daughter. There are some concerns. She has some mucousy discharge coming out of both of her eyes, which coming from someone who has issues with their eyes and has had infections in their eyes, that discharge from the corners of her eyes is the first sign of an infection. When she was born, there was also a blood vessel burst in her right eye, in the outside corner of her right eye, that has gotten worse since they took custody of her. We received a letter. The foster mother, that she had written to be given to us when we arrived at the visitation, and it stated that, oh, her umbilical cord had fallen off. Now, you know, personally, that was something I wanted to attempt to save and put in her baby book if possible. I mean, I don't know. This is my first child. I didn't know what to do. I figured anything and everything that could be saved from to progress her growing up through the years, I would like to save. And also, as far as I know, with the children that I have helped raise and I have had in my life, from infant to 10 years old or older, actually infant to 15 years old now, which would be my little sister, I've never known an umbilical cord to fall off on its own before 10 days. That being said, there is also some mucousy, not even mucousy, pussy discharge coming from her belly button where her umbilical cord was, which shows that it has not been cleaned and it has not been taken care of, and there may be an infection in there. We had a wonderful visit with our daughter, though. It was hard. She was a happy baby, you know, staring right at Daddy the entire time. And, you know, her mother, Stephanie, and I, my fiancée, Stephanie, and I, we took turns. We would switch off holding her and feeding her and burping her. And, well, we only had an hour visit, and the end of the visit started coming up, and they said, oh, well, you need to get her ready to go. Well, we went to put her little sweater on her. She starts screaming, and she starts screaming almost bloody murder, as if she knows what's going on. And it killed me. It killed Stephanie. You know, having to force her to with someone that's not her parents. She belongs at home with us. And then she started screaming even worse when we started putting her in the car seat. You know, because we didn't want to cause a scene or give them any reason to think we were refusing to leave the visit. It was hard, but we pulled ourselves away, and we ended up leaving. After that, I made a couple phone calls. We had taken, again, during the visit, we took numerous video and numerous pictures. And now, I can't even describe how terrible this is. I mean, if people want to talk about Hades on Earth, this is it.
Yeah, it's one of the most horrifying things that can ever happen to an individual is to have your child taken away from you. And it's upsetting a lot of people just listening to it, and the fact that it's actually happening to you is I would imagine borderlining on totally unbearable. The disgusting methodologies of these, well, effers, to put it bluntly, are so horrifying that the public, they wouldn't believe it if we told it to them, you know? And this is probably something that I'm trying to do to contribute, because I think that if as much public attention as humanly possible is shown on this issue, if this story gets out absolutely everywhere, then purely by the light of public pressure, you'll get your daughter back, and hopefully that will be the case.
Well, yes, sir, and I don't mean to cut you off, and please keep your train of thought so you can continue on that thought, but I wanted to speak on the public pressure bit for a moment, because I had actually, after DCYF had contacted Stephanie and I and refused for me to visit with, said it was okay for Stephanie to visit with her, but refused to allow me to visit with her. I immediately got on the phone with Mr. Alex Jones.
Oh, hold on, Jonathan. We'll be going to break, folks, and we'll be right back with Jonathan Irish. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will. It's hard to keep your sense of humor about all this. Me being the man who makes fun of everything, I think I've lost it with this show. No, but seriously though, Jonathan Irish on the line here. I'd actually like to thank you for having the courage to stand up and fight about all this and come on the shows, as you have been doing, to talk about this. And we were talking about public pressure, and I think that it's already too late for child paedophile services. The public pressure has already built up beyond their control, and I firmly believe you'll get your daughter back very soon. Now, I'd just like you to please continue on as you were before the break.
Well, as I was saying, about not even an hour. Matter of fact, I had just gotten off the phone with the DCYF workers when they told me I couldn't visit with my daughter yesterday. And I immediately called Mr. Alex Jones, and he almost immediately put me on because he was doing a radio show with Mr. Stuart Rhodes. And put me on to give them an update. And not even 24 hours after I made it known, or with the help of Mr. Jones and Mr. Rhodes, made it known what they said about not allowing me to visit with my daughter without a reason or any kind of suspicion at all, other than just a blank, vague reason of, oh, there's a security risk and a safety concern. As I said, they called and, but I honestly, butter could have melted in their mouths this morning when they called to have us come to visitation with our daughter.
Yeah.
And I honestly feel that is largely credited to, if not fully credited to, Mr. Jones and Mr. Rhodes, and you know everyone who has taken the time to have us on their shows and to interview us and to find out what is going on, to bring this information to light, and as you said, to put pressure on them to stop their illegal actions and their illegal kidnapping.
And it can't stop here, because it's one case, and I'm sure you know that it happens to so many families in the United States, and indeed similar things are happening all over the world with child trafficking rings, stuff like that. We love Alex Jones and all the things that he does, and it turns out that many of our affiliates, even George Heminger, our man on the street in California, has done videos about this. So it is certainly permeating quite consistently through activist circles and getting into the public eye. My personal thoughts on this is that pursuant to getting your daughter back, once we've got her back, and hopefully that'll be very, very soon, with these slimy, cowardly scumbags curling up under the light of public pressure, I think you'll get her back. And then we need to use that incident as a wedge to drive it into the public consciousness that this isn't an isolated incident. It's happening everywhere. And this is kind of what happens, I find, with terrible incidents like this. And we're doing this in New Zealand. Is that the more people that come out, the more coverage you get of individual cases, it blows the lids on the greater picture for people, and that's what I really love to see. If I can even call that, maybe it might be a bit insensitive, but it's a shame that terrible
Correct.
Things have to happen
if I may,
in order
if
for
I may,
something
sir.
Good to happen.
Mr. Heminger, yes, Mr. Heminger was the first to call and interview me in regards to this matter. I know there's a lot of controversy of some of the wording that I chose, and to be quite honest, any parent who would sit here and say, you know, they could be the most well-spoken individual who has never cussed in or sworn in their life, you know, if this had happened to anyone else, you know, if they were to sit here and say they wouldn't be livid, to say the least, and use some choice words, they're lying. Also, Mr. Heminger, it was brought to my attention this morning that Mr. Heminger did an interview with Stephanie's ex-husband, my fiance Stephanie's ex-husband, and he made some serious statements and allegations in there, which, you know, it was expected for him to do this and to make those statements. First of all, he's not a veteran. He was dishonorable. I do not know if it was a dishonorable or an other than honorable. I do not know exactly what the discharge was. I know it was. I would know it was not an honorable discharge. That's regardless to this point. He had made a statement. Mr. David Taylor, Stephanie's ex-husband, had made a statement that I fought him in his family's on his family's property. Well, to set the record straight, David Taylor raised his fist to a female in front of me, and I defended the female. All I did was subdued Mr. Taylor. Mr. Taylor also made false claims and false allegations against Stephanie to have a, I believe it was a personality disorder, as he referred to it as, which is it's a bold-faced lie. Regardless, even if it was true, Mr. Taylor is therefore violating what is called the HIPAA Act and the HIPAA law, which is the law protecting people's private health information. What he said is not true, but even if it was, he willfully made committed a felony offense by saying that if it was true, which it's not. Also, Mr. Taylor. He also mentioned I'm a manipulator. Listen, he can say what he wants. Mr. Taylor also admitted that he is going to court for a hearing next month for violation of a protection order, which, again, he admitted himself, and the protection order Stephanie had against David. You know, I attempted to contact Mr. Heminger today. Matter of fact, the minute my attention was brought to that interview, and he has still not returned my telephone call for whatever reason. I don't know. He may be busy, but I'm hoping he would return my call so that I can speak with him on that matter. And in regards to Mr. Taylor, and there's quite a bit of information about Mr. Taylor and his background and his family's background, such as the fact his uncle was convicted of having a part in a high-profile murder case here in New Hampshire back in the early 1990s.
Well, you know, this is a complex area, and we might not want to get into all of that. But like Jonathan, this show supports you 100%, and
thank you.
We can put this on YouTube if you want to. We can do whatever it takes, and we're glad that someone with the sway that Alex Jones has got has backed you 100% too. And you know, and yeah. This is going to be resolved, but
yes, it does.
In the larger scenario, it has to be resolved. You know, people have got to realize that this is a so-called professional organization, a state organization, and all those big government lovers out there, you know, have got to realize that this, with all the process and all the people involved, something so wrong has still occurred. Something so wrong.
Exactly,
and
you know, it's
fundamentally wrong is wrong with the system.
Exactly, and it's just like, for instance, Mr. Barry Cooper, whose son was taken from him because Mr. Barry Cooper told his son not to trust the government. and DCYF and CPSW workers took Mr. Cooper's son away from him because he had told his son not to trust the government. That's just, again, that's not being able to think. You can't even think for yourself now.
This is insane. This is really insane. And anyone who thinks like this needs to absolutely piss off to China. Like, they need to get out of here. Like, this isn't what our forefathers fought for, is it? Is it, Jonathan?
No, it's not.
This isn't freedom. You know? Yeah, I'm just real mad about this whole scenario, to be honest.
Yeah, and I'm surprised you've even got any composure at all there, Jonathan, because I'm sitting here and I'm virtual on tears listening to you, and I cannot imagine the type of pressure that you're under with this particular situation. You know, it's you know, I'm lost for words. I'm a radio host, and I'm lost for words. That's how terrible this situation is. And you know, there'll be people in the public that say, oh, they're bad parents and all of that kind of stuff. You know, these people really, really, I don't have any tolerance for people that try to make excuses for child kidnapping, you know.
Yes, sir, and I appreciate your what you said about me keeping my composure. And you know, the way I see it, Stephanie's having a hard enough time with this. And one of us needs to be able to, and trust me, it's hard not to be emotional about this. It is almost impossible. But it is possible because I'm doing it. You know, one of us has to be able to speak with people to be able to not be fully emotional all the time and be able to have a semi level head in this situation to fight for our daughter, and not only our daughter, but to fight for any child who has been taken from their parents, to fight for any parent who is dealing with a situation like this where their child was wrongfully removed. You know, if, don't get me wrong, I wholeheartedly believe that if a child is being abused by parents or someone in the home, whether it be physically, sexually, whatever it may be, or if the child is not being cared for properly, or the living environments are not proper for a child, then by all means, the child deserves to be in a safe environment and deserves to be in a safe home. But no, you know, 90. I'd be one to put a number on it of about 90% of the children who are removed for unjust reasons and unfounded reasons.
Yeah, Jonathan, can I ask, do you think they've targeted you, CPS has targeted you, because of your activist leanings, or do you think it's due to this incident with Mr. Taylor and perhaps he's been a big snitch or something or other? Like,
I feel that both of those matters are a factor in this. It's obvious. Anyone who knows me, anyone who sees me driving down the street in my truck, you know, clearly knows where I stand on my political views and clearly knows what my opinion is of the Constitution and freedom. You know, a lot of people have referred to me as a red, white, and blue-blooded patriotic American who loves his country and loves the Constitution. Will do, and his family most of all, and will do anything to fight for them to the bitter end. And even then, I won't stop fighting. You know,
and that's why these globalist garbage hate your guts.
Exactly.
That's why these CPS scum hate your guts. Yeah, I understand.
And in such a terrible situation, it actually, the bright light shining here, I feel, is that the actions that we're taking here, you know, on this show, Alex Jones Show, and what's going on and happening to you at the moment, Jonathan, will serve as a protection for thousands of other families like yours who could potentially have the same thing happen to them. It's like when the... when the lights are on, the burglar doesn't come a-knocking, you know?
Exactly, sir. You know, that was a great analogy and a great explanation of this. And, you know, the thing is that it's obvious that CPSW, DCYF, whatever acronyms you want to use for them, these child abducting pathetic excuse for people who are supposed to defend children. You know, they don't care about the facts. They care about personal opinion. That's all it is. And, you know, they know that Stephanie and myself both will fight to the bitter end again, and we won't stop even then to fight for our family and keep our family home and keep our family safe. That, you know, that doesn't include just our children. That includes, you know, our relatives, you know, brothers, sisters, with the exception of if someone has truly done something wrong, then, you know, I'm not going, neither of us are going to defend someone that is in the wrong. But,
that's,
you know,
they know
that we will fight to the bitter end for them. And
come gather around, people, wherever you roam, and admit that the waters around you have grown, and accept it that soon you'll be drenched to the bone. If your time to you is worth saving, then you better start swimming or you'll sink like a stone. For the times, they are a-changing.
You are the strength.
Some writers and critics who prophesy.
And you are hearing, and in some cases, maybe those of you out there who are like me, you are also feeling the seriousness of the situation on the Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will. Our special guest has been Jonathan Irish, and we still have him on the line here. What I wanted to do, Jonathan, is kind of sum up all this, and also I wanted to reach out to the listeners as well and see how, if any of them may be able to help with this. I mean, how can people come to your aid? I mean, I'm, as a radio host, I feel it's my responsibility to help truth issues get out, but I'm limited in my capacity. You know, that's the one thing I can do at the very least. Is there anything else anybody can do to help you?
Well, first of all, I'd like to thank you, sir, you guys, for having us, having me on the show today. And I'd like to thank everyone else who's been a great support and sent their prayers up. We've been in contact with an attorney today who wants to take the case. Stephanie's going to have her own attorney. I'm going to have my own attorney. There's going to be a couple different attorneys involved in this case for several different aspects of the case. There will be a legal defense fund set up, hopefully by the end of the night. The reason it hasn't been set up so far is because we want it to be set up through an attorney. That way, everyone and anyone feels comfortable with it, and they know that they're not getting their chain pulled. As of right now, Mr. Stuart Rhodes, the founder of Oath Keepers, has said that anyone who wants to help and possibly donate can donate through their webpage, oathkeepers.org. And all that's asked is in the comment box, put a little note in there as to what you would like your donation to go towards, whether you would like it to go towards the Oath Keepers First Amendment rally, which will be on Thursday, or the Legal Defense Fund to assist myself, Stephanie, and our daughter, Cheyenne. I'm sorry, this, like I said, this is just, it's taken everything to hold everything back right now, and it's hard. It really is. There will be a legal defense fund set up, and there will be several different places you can, if you choose to, and be gracious enough to donate, where you can do so at. Right now, again, oathkeepers.org is the only place. Or the best place to do it at right now. Again, just in the comment box when you click to donate, just explain a brief note what you would like your donation to go towards.
And his name, for those of you who are going to oathkeepers.org at the moment, is Jonathan Irish. And I wanted to sum up this this situation for the audience. I mean, those of you who maybe have just tuned in. Fact of the matter is that in the United States and many countries around the world, good patriots are having their children taken off them for no good reason by a pedophile cult known as CPS. And in other countries, they have different names, but it's all exactly the same effing thing. And they use lies, manipulation, deception, and their positions of bureaucratic power in order to enforce this this kind of agenda on good parents, patriots, activists, anybody who really kind of cares about their country or their people is potentially targetable by these scum. And what's happened to Jonathan here has happened to many, many people, okay? And it will continue to happen to more people unless we use the momentum that is behind this at the moment to blow the lid on the whole thing and to protect other families from the same thing happening to them. That's my summary of the situation.
Yeah, Jonathan, I mean, I couldn't hold it together like you have. I say that right now. No way could I hold that together. But you're doing a great job, and I urge you just to keep doing what you're doing. And, you know, these bastards who've done this to you are going to get theirs, and this is all going to be exposed, and, you know, and justice will prevail this time. This has gone too far now.
Yeah, it's already too late for them.
Cheeky. They've been. This is tyranny, and they're not going to get away with it. And so, just keep riding it, mate, and keep safe, and look after yourself, and you and Stephanie. You know, just hang in there.
Yes, sir. Thank you guys again very much, thank you to all the listeners up again who have sent their support and sent their prayers up. For those of you who have attempted to contact us, we're not ignoring anyone. And one can only imagine how many emails, messages, and friend requests and phone calls we get a day. So we are in the process of getting back to everyone and responding to everything. It's just every time we respond to 20 more come in, and it's incredible.
Well, it just shows that there are some good people out there amongst us that are willing to stand up for what is right, and I'm quite heartened by that fact as it is, and it's all going viral. Now, I'd love you to keep in touch, and you can come on the show anytime you want, Jonathan. You have our contact details, so if you ever wanted to come on the show again, you just let us know, and we'll bring you right on. And so thank you very much. And today's been quite a powerful show, ladies and gentlemen. Our guests, Doc Bean and Jonathan Irish, have been basically blowing the most horrifying reality of our government's involvement in conspiracy to commit child kidnapping and participation in pedophile rings and such. And it's probably the most serious show that we have ever done. And I'd like to thank our guests and our listeners for all their continued support.
Thank you guys again.
All right, there he goes. Thanks, Jonathan Irish. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we'll be back tomorrow with the Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will, the lighter side of genocide.